So, for those of you that haven't heard or seen me preach before, I am a very moving preacher. I said to the cameraman, I'll do my best to stay in this frame, but I can't guarantee that. I don't like to stand still. So, is my PowerPoint ready at the back, James? Perfect. So yeah, so the topic we're looking at is praying in the Spirit as an overall topic. And the title that I was given was there we go. You'll never walk alone. So when I heard this, I thought, oh, I know exactly what I'd think of. So if you're a football fan like myself, you probably think of the same as me. If you're not, you probably have no clue. Liverpool, it's their anthem. It's their thing. It's the chant that always sings. That wasn't me, that was the Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just move this out of the way. That might make the cameraman a bit easier as well. Anyway, where was it? Oh yeah, so Liverpool, they chant it in the stands, they sing it, and when Ian passed me this title, I thought that there's some grace there as an Everton fan to allow me to speak on Liverpool. Next, maybe you thought of marriage. When I took my marriage vows, there wasn't quite you'll never walk alone, but dead do you part, I think is pretty close to you'll never walk alone. Hopefully in your marriages, that's the same thing. You're together, you're one, you do everything in tandem, as a one, so to speak, and you never walk alone. And I thought, where else will I know, where have I heard? When I think of you never walk alone, what comes to mind? And finally, footprints in the sand. Has anyone heard this poem? Few people, yeah. I like a lot of feedback, so some big nods. I know you're not meant to speak, but big nods and big shakes of heads is fine. I can't always see your faces. No, that's great. Well, for those of you that haven't heard the poem, I'm going to read it because it's powerful and it makes a point that I want to touch on. Here we go. Footprints in the sand. Now, I am so glad that I wrote it down because that is tiny up there. Hopefully you can all see it as well. One night, I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once, I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you, never ever, during the trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was that I carried you. And so, in the verses that we just read, that Joe read out, I think that hits home exactly what the verses were talking about. They are up there. Again, I know that they might be a bit small for some of you to see, so do feel free to open your Bibles if you have them. It's Romans 8, 22 to 27. But Paul is talking about present suffering. The whole of chapter 8, he's looking at life of the Spirit and what that looks like, living that life. And then he moves to this point about when we have suffering, but the future glory. And specifically, when we look at 26, he talks about, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. The poem and this verse just go hand in hand. There's a period of our lives when we're just weak and we can't move forward and we can't go on. And it's at those times that the Spirit and God carries us through those things. And we see here that the Spirit intercedes with wordless groans. Now, I went did a bit online, bit of research. I Googled it and I thought, oh, maybe this means tongues. For those of you who don't know the spiritual gifts of tongues, some argued for that. Some argued against that. You can do your own research. I don't think it matters. I think what matters is the point that the Spirit is interceding for us, even when we are at our weakest point. When we can't do it, the Spirit does it for us in those wordless groans. And I thought about it, and I come up with a great analogy for this. How many of you have kids in the building? Raise your hand. have had kids. They don't have to be small children now. Okay, that's pretty much everybody in the building. For those of you that haven't, every time I say toy, you replace that with door. The analogy works exactly the same. So, my daughter is now 15 months old, and she has these little brick blocks that she loves to play with. She loves them. She also loves this huge box thing that has beads going around it. Do you all know what I mean? And they turn them in round, and that's great. It's great when she leaves it out of the way. However, my daughter loves to play in doorways. It's her favorite place. And so me, not knowing, come round the corner. Boom! What do you think I hit? The toy. For those of you who don't have kids, you hit a door, say. Now, this is the wordless groans I feel the Spirit is talking about, because you can't swear. We all know you want to swear, but you can't swear. There's little kids around. And so you start doing this. Yeah? You all know that feeling of pain and anguish inside that hurts, but wordless groans are the only things you can say. That is probably the best analogy I can use for this passage of Scripture. Because when you just are so pained and anguished and English words can't come out of your mouth and just groans of agony and pain, that's when the Spirit intercedes for you. The Lord knows and the Spirit knows what you want to say. It's an analyzation of your heart, and therefore, even in those worst moments, the Spirit is praying for you. I had a moment like this week. For those of you that don't know, maybe most of you do, Eden was rushed to hospital, I think Tuesday night, I can't remember the date, but she was rushed to hospital, unable to breathe, well, really, really shallow breathing, really struggling to breathe. We drove her straight to A&E. There was a wait, which was the longest wait of my life, I feel. But I wasn't allowed to go in because of the current restrictions. I wasn't allowed in the hospital building. And I drove home in floods of tears, wanting to pray, but not knowing what to pray. Just pain and anguish in my heart. And that was the point where I was weak. And just blubber and snot and tears and groans just come out of my mouth, because that's all I could muster. And again, this is exactly what was happening. I knew I wanted to pray. My heart and my spirit wanted to reach out to God, but my earthly mouth could not get those words out. And so the Spirit then interceded for me. And that is where this passage really takes hold, is that actually, even when we have done everything we can in our might and we are down and out, the Spirit is still interceding and praying and wanting the best for you and your life. So we've looked at how the Spirit prays for us. Now, how do we pray in the Spirit? That was the second part of my sort of option to talk about. And so I'm a Pentecostal guy. So when people say, let's pray in the Spirit, I go, let's pray in tongues. Because that's just what you do in Pentecostal circles. People say pray in the Spirit, we pray in tongues. Now, as I was researching and reading this, that doesn't always mean praying in tongues when you're asked to pray in the Spirit. So what does it mean? And so through reading through my Bible and reading through the Word, I came to three verses where I found people talking about praying in the Spirit. So hopefully, I've gone back again. How do we pray in the Spirit? Here we go. So my first verse is Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all prayers and all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So Paul is writing this off the back of writing about the armor of God. It's a big passage in Ephesians. It's a great big passage about spiritual warfare. And so this is sort of wrapping that up, praying the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And so he's reminding us to stay vigilant. Paul is reminding us that this isn't a thing that you just have a quick prayer session and then you go on with your day. This is a regular, week in, day out, moment in, moment out prayer session that you're praying in the Spirit to make sure that you are vigilant in times of need, in times of struggle, but in all kinds of prayers and requests. Well, I don't think Paul is talking about a praying in the Spirit tongue session right now, because if that was the case, you'd never get anything done. Because if you're praying in the tongues in a full-on hour prayer session for every kind of prayer and request, you'd never do anything. You'd constantly be praying. Now, that might be a good thing, but I also know that we need to do the Word of God as well. So, but he's actually looking at different things here. And one of the things he picks out is it's about living the life in the Spirit. It's not just about prayer as we would naturally perceive out loud with words and sort of hands out. But actually, it's about living that life according to what the Scriptures have called us to. And when we do that and we're at one with God's Word and we're at one with God's Spirit, actually, we naturally pray in the Spirit just by saying words. Just by speaking into the lives of people, into the lives of our situations and circumstances, we are praying in the Spirit. And it's about making sure that we're aligned with that. Secondly, he's talking about quickfire prayers. Anyone know what quickfire prayers are, or arrow prayers? We've heard that phrase. I've used it plenty of times before. These are prayers that when circumstances change in an instant, you don't have time to get on your knees and pray. And you're like, Lord, help me. That's it. Boom. Sends it out. Lord, help me. And the Spirit takes that and he runs to Jesus. And he goes, here you go. We need to pray about this. Just as a little bit of visual for some of you. And it happens in an instant. And I remember, always remember, reading between the lines on David and Goliath, seeing this quickfire prayer happen. You've got David. He's got 5 stones, a sling. I don't know why he picks up 5 stones. He's only going to get 1 shot off. Let's be real. He's only got the 1 shot. Because then Goliath's going to come down with this big sword that weighs a ton and just slice him. And you can just imagine as he picks up the stone, he puts it in the sling and he's swinging, Lord, help me, and sends the stone. We don't see that in the passage, but I'm sure as we are aware that David is full of the Spirit of God, and so he is praying in the Spirit in that moment. I'm sure of it. You can argue with me if you're a scholar, that's fine, but I believe that that is to be true, that in that moment, a quickfire prayer goes out, Lord, help me, and the stone flies, and the Lord answers. So next time you're facing your giants or your situations, these quickfire prayers, living that life in the Spirit, is praying in the Spirit and knowing that the Spirit is for you, interceding for you in every situation. Second scripture I found was in Jude 1:20. He says, pray in the Holy Spirit. I'll read it out loud. But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Jude is reminding us to live that right life. He comes off the back of talking about heresy and the little things like that. And he's reminding us that actually the Spirit helps us to live a righteous life. And by that, the Spirit convicts us of our sin. We know that the Spirit convicts us of our sin to make sure we walk on the straight and narrow path. And here we see when he says pray in that Holy Spirit, I really feel that he's talking about to make sure your life is where your life should be at. Praying in the Holy Spirit to allow the Spirit to come and do a work in your life that might mean some cleaning out. It might mean getting some forgiveness for sin that is reoccurring. It might mean that you're feeling down because actually you know you shouldn't have just done what you did an hour ago, or you know you shouldn't have done that. The Holy Spirit convicts us in that. And so when we pray about that, we see a releasing of that and a way to sort of get rid of all the baggage that we have in our lives. I do this daily, and I get that point from the Lord's Prayer. It says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sin as we forgive those that sin against us. There's no break in that. So if we're getting our daily bread, surely we should be getting our daily forgiveness. There's no break in that sentence, in the and. And so I really believe for me in my heart that that's a daily thing that should go on. So when I pray in the Spirit, there should be a point in my time where I'm reminded of sin that I have done that day or that week or whatever it may be, for the Holy Spirit to do a work in me, for God to come and rekindle that fire of going, I want to love you, God, but I know I've done wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And so for me, that I really feel that that's what this passage was talking about, was that whole praying in the Spirit has that convictive power. And so we should be doing that regularly to make sure that we're living that righteous life, going back to what Paul was saying, to make sure we're living according to the Word so we can walk and talk in the Spirit. My third passage of Scripture, I'm rounding out now. Don't worry. It's not going to be a long one. Is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Now, there's a lot in the whole of 1 Corinthians 14 talking about praying in tongues and what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what that means. So I really encourage you, if you've got time this week, go and read 1 Corinthians 14. It's really helpful for looking at praying in the Spirit, specifically in tongues. I'm going to read verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. I speak in tongues. A lot of the time I do that personally more than in a large congregation. There's reasons for that, and I come to that in a moment. But these utter mysteries are usually this tongue that we talk about. Now, there's two versions of tongues in the Bible. There's the tongues of men that we see in Acts, when the holy fire comes down, lands on the apostles' heads. They go out and they speak in the tongues of many men. They go out and they speak in different languages is another word for that. This is a tongue that only God receives, only God understands, and therefore it's utter mysteries in the Spirit, but actually God knows. And when you're praying and you're praying in the tongues of this way, it's a conversation between the person praying and God. However, there is also times for that in the church, and that is where I'm going to look at in the next verse. So we get down to 14 and 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. So Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and in that moment, they're using tongues as a sign of spiritual superiority. And so throughout the whole of Corinthians, he's writing to them, look, it's great that you speak in tongues. I love the fact that you've all got that gift. But actually, there's a reason for that. And he talks about building up the church. He talks about what the reasons for that are. So there should be someone to interpret or someone to understand, maybe. And if not, then just be silent. And again, go and read through all Corinthians. But I think that backstory helps with this. There is place for tongues in the church. But actually, he also then goes on to say, actually, it's okay praying in tongues, but if I was to sit here now and pray in tongues in front of all you, and all I can think about is what's for dinner tonight, I'm not praying in the Spirit. I might be saying things in the Spirit, but I'm not praying in the Spirit. See, it's a two-way thing, and if I was to sing a song of a tongue that wasn't heard by anyone else, where no one could understand, as long as I sung that song in my heart, that would be okay, because actually, I know those two are one. It's not a different thing, and praying in the Spirit, if that is in tongues, also is a heart thing. It's not just a mouth thing, it's a head, it's a mind, body, soul connection that make it work. And so through that, while Googling some stuff, as you do, I found the Evangelical Chronicle, I think it was called. Evangelical Magazine, that was it. And a writer, I should have wrote his name, I didn't, so I do apologize. But he literally sums it all up in one phrase and one paragraph. So I'm going to share that, because everything I've just talked about, if you don't hear any of that but you hear this, that's fine. So I'll share what he said. He was questioning, what is praying in the Spirit? And his answer was this. Yes, I'll put it up there for those that want to read it. It is approaching God as a failure and a sinner by him. On no other basis than the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. It is praying in accordance with his holy word, giving prominence to the themes containing in the Lord's Prayer. It is praying from the heart with fervor, faith, and importunity. And it is more than words. There is a conscious and inner constraint. The desires of the heart are being moved in a particular direction. Something is happening deep down inside me, which is too wonderful to fully describe. In the name of God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is talking to God the Father. And this intercession is somehow taking place inside of me. Man, I didn't even need to preach. I should have just put this up straight away, like it's done. But it's so powerful when you realize just what's happening when we're praying in the Spirit. That there is something going on the inside, but it talks about that heart. It's about being in that moment. It's about being there when you pray. Just praying for the sake of praying isn't praying in the Spirit. It's that whole togetherness of it all coming together and the Trinity being there and you being there and just this wholesomeness when you pray in the Spirit that, as he said, words can't fully describe. I pray in spirit, in the form of tongues, and I totally get that. I totally get that feeling of, I can't describe what is going on when I'm praying right now. My English words, my language isn't the best at the best of times, but it certainly isn't the best when I try and describe what is going on inside when I meet with God and meet with His Spirit, and I just want to extol Him and give Him glory. And so I pray, and babble comes out to what most of you would hear, but actually what's happening is this overflow of joy that is inside my heart, reaching out and praising God. I want to finish here with a bit of testimony. Connection with God. However, I have prayed for people on occasion in tongues. Usually this leads to a point of interpretation, whether from the receiver of tongues that I'm praying for or through myself to then give to that person. It's usually that time of reaching to God and saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to say to this person? A picture, a word, a vision, a song, whatever that may be, usually comes to light. And I share it, and 9 times out of 10, I'm pretty much bang on. There's always the one that says, no, that has nothing to do with my life. I'm like, I missed that one, my bad, carry on. But yeah, usually I'm bang on. But there was a specific time where this didn't happen. I just really felt stirred in my heart to pray for one of my young people. This was my old church. We went away to a Christian camp. And I really felt in my heart to pray for one of my young people. Had no clue why I was praying for him. Just felt the Spirit lead. So I went, okay, as you do, you pray for this person. I didn't lay hands on him. I didn't do anything special. I just sat behind him and prayed for him for the duration of the meeting, about 20 minutes, something like that. And I prayed the general youth leader prayer, protection, guidance, inspiration. Lord, be with him. Use him mightily. And then you run out of things to pray for. So I just started praying in tongues, and I had no clue what I was saying. And I'm, Lord, give me a word, give me a vision, give me something for him. And nothing came. The whole of the 20 minutes prayer, nothing came. I was like, okay, maybe I was just started to pray. I've prayed for him. It's all good. We leave the meeting. I don't mention it because I didn't feel that I had anything to give him. So I just chose to leave it and leave it with the Lord. About 3 hours later, he comes running into the camp where we were staying, our small little village, as it were, that we were in. And he's like, I'm healed, I'm healed. And we were like, what do you mean, what do you mean? He's like, I'm healed, look. And he bent down and touched his toes. I'm not going to do it, I'm well unfit. But he bent down and he touched his toes. And he was like, for the last 3 years, I've had a bad back. I've not even been able to get out of bed properly. And I've just bent down and touched my toes with not a single bit of pain for the first time in 3 years. Powerful prayer of God. I had no clue what I was praying. I had no clue what God was doing in his life. But God did some of it because I was obedient to what the Spirit was calling me to do. And I just want to leave that with you. It's obedience. My final point is it's obedience to what God is calling you to do. When you pray in the Spirit, you'll feel the Spirit stir. And it's obedience to what he's calling you to do. In a moment, we're going to have some time to worship and pray and just be in the presence of God. I really feel there's got to be this space. And now, I don't believe that the Spirit of God is contained in a building or in my special hands when I lay them on you. It's not. Like, that is helpful when people lay hands. But in current circumstances, we can't do that. So does that mean the Spirit doesn't move? No, of course it doesn't. And if you're at home, I really believe that the Spirit will meet you in your household, in your bedroom, in your cupboard, wherever it is you're receiving this online. It doesn't matter where you are. The Spirit wants to meet with you. God wants to meet with you and connect with you in everyday life. So why not start now? So we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing Oceans. And one of the words is Spirit lead me. And at the sort of end of the song, we're going to have the piano playing. And I'm going to come and pray. And then I just want to leave that space for people to be. And maybe some of you will want to receive from the Spirit something in particular. Maybe some of you have never done this before and just spent time waiting on God. But I really want to just create some space for that. And this works at home as well. It's not about all the musicians here or anything like that. It's about your heart being ready to receive what God has for you. So we're going to sing, and then we're going to have some time to do that afterwards. Thank you, team.